Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
What do you want to talk about first? There are three things we could talk about right off the bat. Three big things that we could start the show off with. Could be this.
Here's a drive to deep right field for Chris Herrmann. Rather, Rosario hits it out of the yard to right field. He's up in the second deck there for Rosario.
Eddie Rosario, home run. Aaron Hicks hit a home run. Twins are now tied for first place in the AL Central. We could also talk about this.
It's really not my place to figure out what he's not saying publicly or saying publicly or what anybody else is saying. It's more about these guys that are out here. You know, Adrian, you know, he's really got two choices. He can either play for us or he can not play. So he's not going to play for anybody else, and that's just the way it's going to be.
That's a second choice?
I would think that's so far my favorite of the two. Now, what's the third?
Third choice, I wake up and there's wall-to-wall coverage on CNN and ESPN about FIFA and all the stuff that's going on with FIFA. And here's the audio about everything that I know about FIFA.
Yep.
Your choice.
Well, you know what? Such an intense probe into the scandalous FIFA soccer story. That story, the big soccer story.
I mean, if soccer, because that's
cares?
What it is. It's not football. FIFA stands for Football International or something. Some foreign internet. I don't even know.
Yeah,
nobody cares.
I don't care about that. I'd have to say Zimmer. Number one.
Well, yeah.
You know, the Twins are on top. At least they're.
This is
the long time coming.
Twins are in first place.
I don't care how many games into the season you are. They didn't stand a chance of us talking like them about them like we are, will today, because the way they started 1-6, we thought they were doomed, and they still might be. But I like their chances a lot better than the last.
Laying on the grass again at third base, and Hicks hits one high and deep to right field, and that will give the Twins a 3-run lead. 2-run shot, first home run of the year for Aaron Hicks.
But you're feeling pretty good about yourself being the Aaron Hicks of radio now.
Aaron Hicks is
actually pretty good at baseball.
You can pick up a ball bat.
Top 5-2.
Wow.
He can pick up a ball bat.
I'm not feeling so good about myself being the Christian Ponder of radio, but...
I thought
you were going to have the worst end of that deal. I mean, I didn't think either Aaron Hicks or Christian Ponder would do anything with their professional careers.
Aaron Hicks... He's robbed a couple at the warning track now, and he decided to pick up the ball bat. And his brother Joseph called in. I think all of his luck and everything sort of changed when we had the conversation with Joseph Hicks Jr. And we talked with him at length about Aaron Hicks and the ups and downs that he's had since he's been a Twin and then sent down a couple times. This might be the real deal, though.
How all of a sudden did we here at 105 The Ticket, and particularly our show, the Radioactive Sports Show from 4 to 7, all of a sudden get the golden touch? Because a couple weeks ago, we helped the Minnesota Timberwolves get the number one overall draft pick by... putting a, what was that, like a billboard type thing? Or
it was
what
a
was
big
it?
Banner. It was a big tarp-looking thing with happy birthday, KG.
We were rubbing it all over Target Center. We were rubbing it all over Sid Hartman's bronze balls down at his little statue at the Target Center area.
We were.
We were hanging it over 35W and 94 in the Commons area. So that helped. And now you're saying we're the reason Aaron Hicks hit a home run today and is actually doing pretty decent in the big club.
Really, really nice to see him come around. They expected big things out of him. It doesn't always work that way in baseball, though. I mean, they're either ready or they're not. Mike Berardino talks about it all the time.
What does he know?
He doesn't know much. But he knows an awful lot more about baseball than I do.
God, he talks a lot.
I can't figure out. For the longest time, I've never really known why baseball players can't come in and just play the game of baseball. But he's explained it over and over and over again. It's more psychological than anything at the plate.
Because they're pansies.
And they're pansies.
That's obvious.
That's most of it. But football's a totally different thing. Like, you either can play or you can't. But Aaron Hicks, good luck to him. Continued success. You know, it goes in streaks. And it's a long, long, long season. I understand that. But I don't think any of us thought we were going to find ourselves at the top, at least tied for first place right now in the Central.
No, not at all.
And I'm amazed by it.
We have one heck of a show planned. We'll talk to talk about Adrian Peterson in depth, obviously, with what Mike Zimmer said in his press conference today at Vikings OTAs at Winter Park. In fact, we'll check in from Winter Park with our guy Brian Murphy from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com coming up next. 4.5 questions I'll ask you about the Vikings and the Twins and the Wild, and they've got a couple of things going on over there in St. Paul. We'll rank the Vikings' best head coaches of all time at some point this afternoon, about 4:45.
That'll be fun.
We'll play the famous Jerry Burns meltdown.
He was good for a lot of different meltdowns. I don't think we could play him on the air.
I'm going to play him.
Even the one that you have.
No, even the one that I have, I'm going to play.
Okay. Straight through?
Yep.
No bleeps.
Bleeps.
Bleeps, of course.
Gotta be bleeps.
You have to bleep them out. Yeah, all of them.
I just love how Mike Zimmer and the Vikings are holding steady on AP. We'll talk about that a little before 5. Jim Rich was also at Vikings OTAs today. Some more information on that with him. Mike Berardino, he's down in the clubhouse right now talking to Paul Molitor and the rest of the Minnesota Twins, who are now in first place, tied for first place in the AL Central. Chris Shad has a new article at Cold Omaha. Is it time to panic about Adrian Peterson? Zach Harper, I've been trying to get this guy on for a while now. He's been the guy that we talked to. He blogs a certain blog called A Wolf Among Wolves, a Timberwolves blog.
Okay.
But he's also a basketball guy for CBS Sports, and he lives in Miami. So we've talked to him several times when LeBron James was going through that whole situation of moving back to Cleveland.
Yep.
Minnesota professional athletes that could play other sports. A pretty interesting little article by Michael Wren in the Star Tribune. He has Zach LaVine playing different sports, Zach Parise, Joe Mauer, Torrey Hunter. We'll talk about that and come up with their own stuff. A couple of Mike's breaks in there, and God knows what those will be.
You just don't.
No.
You don't know.
And I like, that's my favorite part. Sillier Side of Sports coming up, and then the true superstar to wrap it up. I love how basically everything that I do, you copy, and now you're wearing sunglasses in the studio every single day like me.
I just don't want to forget them and not bring them home.
I wear them because I don't really want to look at you.
See, I wear them a lot of the time because I don't want to get a migraine headache.
Oh.
But you do kind of wear them for that reason, though. People don't realize this, but you come in here and you wear your sunglasses now almost every day. I think every day now.
Every day since I had near stroke type thing where I had four migraines in a week and a half.
Well, don't you have a sound piece from when you had that?
No.
You do. I'm sure you do. Really feeling for you on that. That's a horrible thing to go through. And there's another one. You almost sounded like a coach.
Right.
And I.
I don't get a brain bang cold.
Yeah, so I'd wear the sunglasses. I mean, if you can prevent any of that from happening again, you'd want to keep the sunglasses on.
Because people like to say salsa.
And I do too, salsa.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible too.
You ever seen my anus through a telescope?
No, I don't want to. I don't need to see a telescope. You got a pretty big ass.
No, I asked you about Uranus.
Hey, Mike is kind of a prick.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Look, I admit it.
That's what I'm saying.
I asked you if you've ever seen Uranus with a microscope, with a telescope.
This franchise is Teddy's.
We know. Coach Zimmer, is it Teddy's or is it AP's?
This franchise is Teddy's.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Get out of here, you low-life scum.
Hell no.
God, why are these people having fights? Like John McCain against KG? It's just ridiculous.
I don't get it. But I just know that we can talk and talk and talk and talk forever
about
AP. But my God, I don't know what people are ready to do now. I mean, the Chris Shad article kind of brings a shiver.
Really?
And the hair stands up on the back of my neck. You know why?
Why?
Because it really is true. It's
screw
true.
Him. He's basically saying screw him.
Is it time to panic about Adrian Peterson?
No.
A year and a half, whatever it's been, since this all started to blow up in our face, we're still talking about it. We're still trying to figure out where he might play. Apparently, he seems to think he's going to be able to get out of this by sort of fake retirement or some bogus Olympic, whatever the case, but he might be done because it means more to him than that. I just don't buy it.
I don't either.
Zimmer explained it real clearly.
I want to take phone calls, 651-989-9105, about how much Minnesota Viking fans, because I saw it all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, all the other ones, whatever they're called, that I didn't really check. I'm just fantasizing about it. But seriously, everybody that I saw erupted with cheer via social media when Mike Zimmer said,
"It's really not my place to figure out what he's not saying publicly or saying publicly or what anybody else is saying. It's more about these guys that are out here. You know, Adrian, you know, he's really got two choices. He can either play for us or he can not play. So he's not going to play for anybody else, and that's just the way it's going to be.
In the nicest possible way, Mike Zimmer saying, listen, here's the deal on the whole Adrian Peterson situation. I realize, he said at the beginning of that statement, I realize you media members have a job to do. Brian Murphy, Jim Rich, they're all down there asking questions. He said, I realize you have a job to do, but I've got nothing to do with Adrian Peterson. One thing that he also said was there were rumors and things that you read on the internet that aren't necessarily true. There was a rumor, there was a report on the internet that said Adrian Peterson called Mike Zimmer and said, hey, I'm not coming to these OTAs.
Yeah, okay.
And he said that couldn't be any further from the truth. I haven't heard from Adrian Peterson, which is another, I feel like, Adrian Peterson, why are you being a dick about this? Why are you being a complete jackass to everybody?
No one understands what's going on behind the scenes. Look, like one of the callers said yesterday, someone called in and said, you know, we really don't know if it's coming from Adrian Peterson, do we? It could be coming from anybody else, but we don't really always see that it's in quotations and that Adrian actually said it. It's always someone speaking on behalf of Adrian, be it his agent.
Because he's a pansy.
Dogra.
Yeah.
Who comes out and apparently his client has told him something. He's relaying that information to us. Well, the question to ask Dogra would be, did your client say that to you? Did he tell you that? Because
I'm not concerned.
I know you're not. I know Mike isn't concerned, but you have to understand, if Adrian's not saying this stuff, but his agent is, and he's just making it up to try and make some sort of deal or win his client over some more money out of these last three remaining years on his deal. You have to understand, if Adrian's not even really saying it, and Dogra is just flying off the mouth.
Dogra can't just fly off of the mouth. You had agents. What happens if an agent was speaking for you and you didn't agree with what the agent was saying and it was making you look like an ass?
Well, I mean,
you'd fire the agent.
Well, yes, absolutely. But I don't think that what he's saying, it can't be. Adrian probably agrees with what he's saying, but he hasn't really said it. And that makes it different for me. It makes it different when the athlete doesn't say, if, you know, this is what I don't want this. I'm not going to OTAs or whatever else. But for Dogra, maybe to plant something in the media, like, well, you know, Adrian called Mike Zimmer and he said this and this when, in fact, he has not called him. He has not picked up the phone and called him. And he doesn't have to pick up the phone and call him. And we're going to make a big deal out of it because Dogra wanted us to say something about it or talk about it like we are right now.
See, I'd rather have Adrian Peterson say it than have Ben Dogra say it because it makes Adrian Peterson look like, and I the only word I can use on the air right now that is allowable that I wouldn't be beeped or knocked off the air is pansy, because you have the balls to have these sex parties. You have the balls to misuse funds for your charity. You have the balls to hit your kid with the switch, 4-year-old, leaving marks and then having to go to jail for it. Mm-hmm. You have the balls to have all these kids all over the place. You have the balls to walk around like you own the joint. You have the balls to do all of these things, but you don't have the balls to come out and actually face all of this stuff that you've been accused of.
Yeah, I just think that it's wrong to not hear it actually coming from him. And that's what our caller made a really good point about yesterday. And it kind of, I mean, I know that Dogger's heard something or Adrian's expressed his feelings and he's cried and whined about it to him, I'm sure. But to have him put it in words as if though it was coming from Adrian is not the right way to go about doing business. And these phone calls or non-phone calls, what we've been told is he did not contact Mike Zimmer at all. Someone planted that. Someone said he contacted Mike to let him know, blah, 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 something, whatever. I'll be at I'll be at the mandatory mini camps, but I'm not coming to OTAs. Whether he said that or not, we don't know. Apparently, that call was not made, though.
No, it wasn't made. Just by what we're hearing from Mike Zimmer today, Mike Zimmer, I feel like, he's at the end of his rope, I feel like.
Well,
I
mean, put an end to it.
If Adrian Peterson comes back, obviously he's going to use Adrian Peterson and his talents. He could use him in the backfield. He's the greatest running back in our generation and this and that, and definitely in the NFL right now, or was when he played. He's now had this year off. But Mike Zimmer just said, here's the deal.
Here's how it's going to go.
I don't care what Adrian Peterson's saying. I don't care about the internet. I don't care about this report. I don't care about Ben Dogra. Adrian's playing for the Vikings, or he's not playing at all. And, end of story.
And that, by the way, debunks anything that we could have thought maybe about what Dick Spielberg has been saying.
Come on,
about
Dick.
Maybe you'll trade this, trade that. We're not going to trade after the draft. Oh, sure, yeah, he's putting up a smokescreen. The head coach just came out and said, he's going to play for us or he's not going to play. I mean, that is very straightforward, which is Mike Zimmer. That's Mike Zimmer's stuff.
I love Mike Zimmer.
And so that just diffuses everything about, I wonder if they're really going to trade him. They got a plan and something's going on behind the scenes. It's going to happen. Chris Carter thinks something's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Mike Zimmer just said he is either going to have to play football here with the Vikings or he's not going to play at all. That's how we're going to leverage him.
I have never loved a coach so much in town here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Minnesota, especially after only 1 year, then I love Mike Zimmer. That guy, I want to have his babies.
That's going to be hard to do.
Or I want him to, okay, then I want him to have my babies.
That might even be a more difficult
shot. Because he's old?
What? Yeah.
Because he's too old and his things don't work anymore?
I don't know.
Is that why?
We can ask him.
I'm not really sure how the birds and the bees things work, but
I don't know
whatever
how that
it
would
is,
work. I don't know how
I am
work.
In love with Mike Zimmer. I love him.
He's a piece of work. I love him too, man. I had a chance to talk with him all last summer at training camp, and one really nice conversation, and then a few tidbits that I sort of bounced questions off him. But he did stand and talk with me for like 25, 30 minutes alone,
wow,
just by myself, where I got to talk with him.
Even I wouldn't do that, and I have to work with you every day.
Yeah, I mean, we barely talk.
Jeez.
But, I mean, we're forced to do these segments. We're going to take a break and not talk for like 2 or 3 minutes. And when we come back, we're gonna have Brian Murphy on the phone with us.
Murph.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to bring Murph on. He's with the Pioneer Press, as you know. He's also a beat writer for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk to him about everything you can possibly imagine.
Brandon Fusco, the new left guard, by the way. That is what he tweeted me texted me.
Oh, that's good information right there. So they're giving the big kid a chance to play the right side,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to work. All right, so come back, everybody. And where's David Yankee? Another question. Radioactive Sports.
On Deck Radio with Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman.
Dan, glad.
What do you see that Molly's trying to do to implement his way of doing things?
Well, I think the first thing that jumped out is, you know, Molly's kind of the quiet messenger, whereas Gardy, I think, wore his emotions more on his sleeve. You know, I think Mahler's more the calm guy, and I think the guys kind of respond to that a little bit differently.
Tune in On Deck Radio, Saturday mornings at 11. Wall-to-wall baseball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports, 105 The Ticket.
I'm not concerned.
I'm not worried. The sharpest dressed dude I've ever friggin' seen.
I also read that it said that Adrian told me that he wasn't coming OTAs, which is completely false. So I know there's a lot of things that are out there that I don't know when he's coming, and so we'll just leave it at that.
Talk to him since you visited him?
Well, talked to him since I visited him, but I have not talked to him recently.
Was Brian Murphy asking the follow-up question? It's our guy.
You know, he's right down to the nitty-gritty. He's where it counts. He's right there in the belly of the beast. Winter Park. Might even be in the big corner office with all the windows, with Mike Zimmer. So, and we can ask. I don't know. I mean, he's been in these kinds of places. He finds himself nestled in with Ted Bridgewater and Kyle Rudolph and several of the players. Jerick McKinnon in California. He is inside stuff. Brian Murphy, how are you, sir?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Relatively well.
We've missed you for a long time.
Yeah, I heard. I'm sorry.
It's been rough. It's been rough.
Well, it's, it's late May, you know? Who's your starting left guard? Where's your running back? It never ends.
I know.
The machine continues to churn out news and headlines.
No kidding. God, you texted me today saying Brandon Fusco is the starting left guard. Now, we've talked about that. It is not official yet, is it?
As far as we know, on May 27th it is, of course, you know.
Oh, well.
OTAs are also short for subject to change.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I think it's significant that they approached him to make this change, and it sort of solves one riddle but creates a little more intrigue at right guard now. They want to get a look at J.T. Clemmings and see if he can, you know, hold his own. He's familiar with the right side, so it's you know, if they can find a way for maybe Fusco and Khalil to work some chemistry on that left side, maybe they just move the hole to the right side and lock down the left side for now.
You want to lock down the backside for sure. So Fusco makes sense. Apparently they have approached him, as you just said. And he's comfortable with the idea of changing position and moving to the other side of the center, making him a left guard. I just, you know, not, but where do we find David Yankee in this mix?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think they're a little bit, Zimmer said some good things about him, but they said some good things about him after he drafted and he never saw the light of day. So, that bears a lot more watching. They're very high on Clemmings. They think they got a steal on Clemmings.
I do, too. I do, too. I love T.J. Clemmings. We had a chance to talk with him, but I watched two or three games, sideline reel, end zone reel of T.J. And I'll tell you right now, that kid can play football. I have no doubt in my mind he can play. Whether they start him right away, that's sort of an unusual thing for a rookie offensive lineman to come in and just start. But he may just be one of those kind of guys.
And then there's always Joe Berger, the always available and flexible Joe Berger.
I like him, too. I think he is. I watched him during a couple games, specifically the Detroit game, where he was man up on Ndamukong Suh, and he was doing a good job. He was doing a good job against a monster like that.
Let me some Joe Berger, but anytime, I mean, obviously, with the health of the offensive line the last couple of years, especially last year, I'd love to have Joe Berger just come in and fill holes everywhere he possibly, because he can. You guys are right. He can do anything. But at the same time, if he's doing such a great job and he is the best choice, and put him in the right guard.
Why is he not a starter at this
because
point?
Because he's just
obviously he can't sustain it.
He's a solid, backup.
And he's old. There's no future.
He's a utility guy.
Swingman, I think, is the parlance of our time.
He's a swingman, and the guy has a knowledge. Trust me, to be able to play on both sides of the ball and center, he can play center too. He is the ultimate offensive lineman to know all that, both sides of the ball, and to play center and call all the shots. And he can play them all. He's not the best player at any of those positions, but he is solid at all those spots. He's a great utility guy.
Provides veteran leadership, too. We're talking Vikings and OTAs with our guy from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com, Brian Murphy. Brian, the big story of the day, obviously. I'm surprised we didn't lead off at that. But Zimmer saying AP can either play here or not play for anybody else. And social media just erupted with elation. Vikings fans and people all over the United States of America was all over SportsCenter and this and that. Playing hardball, it looks like, with Adrian Peterson. But it was basically what everybody's been saying up until now, but it was just put out in a very terse way by Mike Zimmer today.
Well, it was put out in a very Mike Zimmer way, which was it had some bite to it. And if anything, and I'm sure fans are somewhat celebrating at least a little bit, Zimmer picked up the grenade and threw it back at Peterson, and nobody's done
that's
that.
A good way to put it.
That's a good way to put it. It was great.
It hasn't changed the thinking. It's just a way of saying, look, we're going to call every bluff you have. This is what we've been talking about ad nauseum for months. Adrian has no leverage. His only leverage is to not show up, which is going to cost him money and opportunity in a career that is fast, you know, dwindling away. He's 30 years old. He's already missed a full season, the equivalent of 160-yard performance against the Rams. I mean, if his true goal is to overtake Emmitt Smith, he's running out of time and opportunities, and sitting on the sidelines, missing out a $250,000 roster bonus, which we all know is, you know, spare change in the couch cushions to him. But, you know, the mandatory minicamp on June 16th, the Vikings can fine him about $72,000. They may, maybe they will, maybe they won't. July 25th reporting day in Mankato. I mean, they're not going to move him. So if he wants to leave more money on the table and really play this out, he's going to be sort of, fighting with himself.
Brian, you mentioned the possible $72,500 they could fine him for missing the mandatory minicamp next month. What would be the reason for not fining him that money?
Well, the team has the option not to. And if they really want to take this soft pedal approach and basically capitulate and sprinkle the rose petals that they've been doing all off season from the time Spielman and Zimmer got on a commercial flight, flew down to his lair and said, please come play with us, come play for us. We're not going to trade you. You've served your time. We're moving forward. We'd love to have you back. You make us better. From every comment since then, they have basically tried to make it as cozy a nest as possible for Adrian to return. And that's just another extension of that. Look, they don't have to necessarily find him. I don't know what kind of message that would send in the rest of the locker room, because that's real meat and potatoes kind of hardball there. Where the
it's mandatory.
Well,
yeah, mandatory minicamp. Everybody else is there.
Well, yeah, and for everyone else to see that he's being let off the hook, easy, are you going to really do that with every player? No, you're not. You're not.
That's why I'm saying it's the end of the line here. I mean, if he misses mandatory minicamps, $72,900, boom, get him. It's time to start playing hardball with this Joker.
And I think that could hurt him a little bit in the long run. I know we talk about the $250,000 or so being under the sofa cushions, which it always has been because he makes that kind of money. But if he doesn't continue to play football, there are a lot of obligations out there for him. A lot of, I mean, I don't know, seven or eight kids. And, I'm sure he has to take care of each and every one of them in a very handsome sum each month.
And it's not like he can be an O.J. Simpson going out there doing movies or being a pitch man for this or that. I mean, he's a convicted child abuser now.
Yeah.
He's not the squeaky clean Adrian Peterson with the beautiful smile anymore.
I mean, he settled. There was a settlement. I don't know whether he was...
Still on his record. There's still going to be backlash from people.
There's plenty of backlash. And I would say... But I don't know what's in it for Adrian to miss OTAs and then minicamp too. I mean, now that's a big deal. OTA, not so much. But minicamp is big. That's where he has to reassert himself as a Viking football player and get back on the field with his, you know, with his teammates and be part of this team, because he is running out of options if he doesn't want to come back for minicamp. That's a whole different ballgame right there when you're missing minicamp.
I know these OTAs aren't mandatory, Brian, but Coach Zimmer said he's worried about the other 89 guys out in the field today. So is Adrian Peterson the only Viking player not at OTAs?
Yeah, he's the only one here. The only one that didn't report.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't anything huge in the sense that he's missed plenty of them in the past.
Right.
But he's always been there for the mandatory minicamp.
And
as Mike said, he's got to be a Vikings teammate. It's time.
It really, he's got to do something right now. They're just, it couldn't be any more simple than what Mike put in the paper today. I mean, he's either going to play for us or he's not going to get to play. If Adrian doesn't see that now, if he didn't hear that from the head coach loud and clear, he needs to get his rear end up and get here to minicamp. I could care less about these OTAs. When I was playing, there were no OTAs. It was just workouts began or weightlifting. You were allowed in the weight room to start training, and you'd all meet down there and do whatever you had to do all summer until the minicamp.
Well, wouldn't it be a good idea for him to come to these non-mandatory things and get the sorries and the apologies and the welcome backs and the open arms and all this stuff out of the way?
Ben, you're trying to crawl into Adrian's head, and at the vast,
just full of cobwebs.
Area. But I look, he's got to show up for minicamp. If he doesn't, that's going to be a tougher locker room every single day that he holds out of minicamp. And then if it turns to training camp, I'm sorry. I mean, you may not play then. I mean, they may just say sit out there. Sit out there, because he's not willing to come in and do the time with his teammates and put in the same effort. They don't even play him in training camp. They don't play him in preseason games. So, I mean, it's easy for him to show up for minicamp and training camp. He's got to do that. He needs to
be on that roster.
Yes, he does.
The day before the opener or 48 hours or whatever to get that guaranteed 12.75. Is he really going to leave that on the table?
No.
To make a point that nobody's going to hear.
I don't think he's that dumb. I just don't think so.
I don't think so either. Look, I wish the guy well. It's Adrian Peterson in our backfield. I hope he plays. I don't care for him, but I sure as hell hope he puts on pads for the purple. That's all I'm saying.
It's getting interesting, Brian Murphy from Winter Park. Thanks, my man, for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right, sounds good, guys.
You bet. Thanks, Brian.
Love that guy.
I do too. We're gonna be doing a little radio together, he and I, when you take some time away and go freshen up and visit some family. And
don't forget about me, okay?
I won't forget about you. We'll play the song "Don't You Forget About Me."
Oh,
I think it was
a
Simple Minds or something.
Sure.
I don't know. But we do have 4.5 questions.
Let's do it.
I'll look that other song up for you. 4.5 questions at 4:30. Trust me, you're gonna love it. Ben has compiled 4 great thoughts that he'd like to run past another great mind.
Brian, what was that? Going to stay on for the next break? Brian, are you hanging out with us? What? I don't think he's...
You can't chuckle when I say something like that.
You're
take it back.
No, I'll take it back.
I can't get past this. You've hurt me. we're going to have to go. I need to clear my head. Take it back.
Passionate sports talk.
I think they're going to be okay.
No, they're not going to be okay. How can you say they're going to be okay?
I just know.
Did you watch any of the games?
Watched them.
How can you say they're going to be okay when you saw how they played?
I don't think we're done fighting.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
I'm not concerned.
I'm not worried.
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 I'm not concerned.
I think that what's happening there is that Mike Zimmer is not concerned one way or another whether Mike Yo is worried.
I'm not concerned.
I'm not worried.
See?
I think Mike
Yo is saying that he's not worried about Mike Zimmer being concerned or not.
I love Mike Zimmer, and we were talking about the fact that somehow trying to get to have babies with him or something.
Trying to figure out how that can happen.
That's how much I love Mike Zimmer.
I don't want to have to rain on your big day, your parade, but I don't think you can do it.
I don't want to have Mike Yo's babies, but when Mike Yo said he wasn't worried, I was terribly worried because I just don't believe him. And obviously, look what happened. The Blackhawks swept the Minnesota Wild right out of the playoffs.
Bang.
Mike Zimmer says he's not concerned, and I completely believe him because I could give a rat's ass whether Adrian Peterson comes back or not. I mean, obviously, I'd like him to be on the Minnesota Vikings. You just said last break with Brian Murphy how much he adds to this offense. And we'll talk about it in 4.5 questions here. But if Adrian Peterson's going to be a dink about it, I don't want him anywhere around my beloved purple.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think that's a question. I think it's more of a statement that you just...
I wasn't asking a question.
...threw that out there, yeah. And I agree with it. I think if he comes... I can't see him coming in with an attitude. I don't think you can play like that. I mean, he is the kind of guy that wants to carry the damn ball. If you come in with an attitude, who's going to hand off to you?
And the Adrian Peterson that left Winter Park before the stuff was the life of the party.
He was.
Everybody loved him. Everybody's expecting the same Adrian Peterson to come back. So if your team in the locker room turns against you, I mean, that's just another nail in your coffin.
Yeah, it's going to be awfully hard to operate that way. I mean, I think there was one season I can remember. There was a story about a running back named Dwayne Thomas who played for the Dallas Cowboys, a great running back, played with Grant Hill's father. They were both great running backs. They shared time with the Dallas Cowboys. They won the Super Bowl, but Dwayne Thomas swore he wouldn't talk to anybody all season.
Why not?
Anybody. And he didn't. Teammates, coaches, the word was is that he didn't talk at all. I don't know how that could be. I don't know how that's possible. But that is the case. That is the case, though. Apparently, he was basket case.
Did he hate people more than you and I hate people?
I think he must have.
Jeez.
He wouldn't even talk to his teammates, but I think it'd be awfully hard. And I think that he wants to come in and get back to football.
You would think so.
He's a football kind of guy. He's a Texas kid. He wants to play this game still.
But now he's got real estate, maybe the Olympics, you know, all the other options, of course.
Oh, yeah.
4.5 questions. Question number one, Teddy Bridgewater just gushed about Kyle Rudolph. The question was, how is Mike Wallace doing? And he goes, Mike Wallace is great, but Kyle Rudolph is healthy, he's huge. So theoretically, if Adrian comes back, don't you think that this offense with Norv Turner as the coordinator, Kyle Rudolph, Mike Wallace, Cordarrelle Patterson, if he can do anything, Jarius Wright, Adrian Peterson, offensive line all healthy.
I mean,
could be one of the best in the NFL, and if that's the case, they could be a serious noisemaker in the NFC. So where would you rank the Vikings right now from 1 to 32? Obviously, nobody's playing games. Nobody's doing anything.
Yeah, on paper, as we say.
Sure.
On paper, and I've seen lists of teams and sort of how they stack up talent-wise. Yeah, you surf, Bleacher Report or NFL.com, and they come up with tons of lists after the draft to find out who's got the best talent pool to work with. They had an article that was the lead article and said that the Vikings could be one of the most talented squads
yes.
in the NFL. Now, I don't know if it's that good. I know it's much improved. I don't know if I would have gone that far. So to answer your question, 1 out of 32, I think the way you see it on paper talent-wise, we're in the top 10. I think we're in the top 10.
It's so funny because I feel that people listening in the cars who are Minnesota Viking fans or non-Minnesota Viking fans are, and I thought about this before I asked you, oh, those guys are just homers because ESPN.com, those bastards, they have the Vikings 24th out of 32.
That's just not the case.
In fact, falling four spots since last week.
Okay. Look, I'll tell you right now, if Adrian Peterson's back in pads, number one, we were a better team than that coming into this season without Adrian. Yeah, we're not 24th. I guarantee you, we're not 24th in the National Football League in terms of talent. When everyone's healthy and we put people out on the field that we're supposed to put out there, like we're I'd say top 10.
CBS Sports has us at 15, climbing six spots from last week.
Okay.
Fox Sports, here's USA Today. They have the Minnesota Vikings talking about this Joshua Duggar and the 19 Kids and Counting. That is not what I was looking for. God, I missed 19 Kids and Counting. I forgot to tell you about that.
Yeah, then we can talk about that if you want to. That's
no,
that's a continuation.
17th from FoxSports.com.
Okay, okay. 19 Kids and Counting. Is that an AP story? Okay.
SB Nation, another one of my favorite websites. You should check it out if that's not the case. They have us right up there as well. ESPN's a stupid idiot.
Look up NFL.com and see what their ranking is. Because they were talking more of just what kind of talent we have. I mean, just a talent base. Not so much the offensive system, the defensive system, and how things are going to work out, wins and losses, but just how much talent. They claimed, in this, I'll find it somewhere.
Oh, dang it.
I think it was Bleacher Report. But I agree. I agree with them. I think we got a pretty good talent base.
Okay, we talked about this. Here's question two a little bit with Brian Murphy. Yesterday, you read an article that had David Yanke as the Vikings starting left guard going into the season.
Yep.
Obviously, a prediction, not necessarily fact. If the team was that high on David Yanke, why would they be practicing at OTAs with Brandon Fusco at left guard whilst plugging in rookie TJ Clemmings at right guard? Are OTAs just we're just going to screw around and see this or that because it doesn't really matter? I mean, we're still months away from even the preseason.
Yeah.
So let's just let's throw everything against the wall.
That's what it is.
But yet when it comes down to the nitty gritty in training camp, David Yanke or whoever they think would be the starter or the probable starter will go in there with the first team.
Sure. You have to see whether or not Brandon Fusco can go out over on the left side and play that way. Yeah. This is the time to try it. You have to work the bugs and all the things that could go wrong that might go wrong. You have to have that sort of answered already before you start training camp in July. And so they're going to try a lot of different things. They're going to try Clemmings over there. They're going to try, of course, David Yanke over there. Just because he got more reps today with the starters and he was playing left guard today, that being Fusco.
Did the same thing yesterday too.
Well, I mean, it may be the case where he's going to line up there until he says something or they notice that he can't play it as effectively as he was as a right guard. So, I mean, that has to play itself out.
Question three, you ready for this? Twins now tied for first place in the AL Central with the Kansas City Royals. Who is the MVP of the year for the Minnesota Twins so far? Still so early, but being a 94, 95, 90-plus loss team for the last 4 years, this is exciting for Twins territory.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, with pitching, I mean, Gibson is just killing it. I think Pelfrey's playing great. Mike Pelfrey's playing great.
Ricky Nolasco has five wins.
Nolasco is finally figuring things out.
He still has an ERA above five, I believe. But I watched a full game last night. It was the first time I watched full game at my house, first pitch to the end of the game. And it was late because of the rain yesterday. So it lasted forever.
Yep.
God, they're so much fun to watch.
They're way better now.
They're like the Piranhas again.
Away from the pitching side of things, I think you have to look at, I don't know. The first thing that jumps out at me is Plouf this year. Plouf and Dozier. And you know what? Torrey Hunter's made a big difference somehow. Joe Mauer is back. He's staying the course. I don't know if he's having a banner year as far as Joe Mauer numbers.
Still hitting less than 300, which is disappointing.
But the whole thing as a team is coming together. And that's the biggest difference maker is that we have a team that we're putting out there now where a lot of different combinations work a lot because of what Paul Molitor calls and what his shots. He's calling the shots. That's working too. That's a big, big difference maker. I don't think we would have seen that with Guardy.
No, I don't either. Coming up next, we're going to talk about ranking the Minnesota Vikings best coaches of all time. So what will you, your one word answer, word association, what would you say if I said, which I don't necessarily agree, and I'll tell you where I put him here in this real list, but what would you say if I said Mike Zimmer, because of what he said today, either Adrian Peterson's playing here with my Minnesota Vikings or he's not playing at all, is my favorite coach of all time for the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, a lot goes into it than just one phrase of what he's been saying, but how he's led the team, the winning percentage, this and that, how long is with the tenure with the team. But what is your one word you would say if I said Mike Zimmer, best coach in Minnesota Viking history? Early?
Way, way, way too early. That's a test of time. And calling the biggest shots. Oh, no, wait. Listen, if you said favorite coaches or best coaches, That'd be two different things. Because he's saying and doing and making good on a lot of things that make him one of my favorites of all time right now.
Yeah.
But best coach in Viking history. We can talk about that next. Joined Radioactive Sports at the office on Washington Avenue for Twins Ticket Friday.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will be there from 4 to 7 outside on the patio, along with our ticket girls, giving away tickets to that night's game and future games.
From the office on Washington and 844 Hay Workers, get fueled up before the game with $3 cold domestic drafts and a great full menu.
Radioactive Sports, live at the office on Washington before Friday Twins home games. Then walk right over to Target Field.
Finally, an office you can have fun at with Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
Yeah, let me say something. As long as I'm in this job, Snelker will be the offensive coach. I mean, no question about that. I don't like to name names after a game. But we can't be responsible for the blocking. We can't be responsible for the guys jumping offside. We can't be responsible for... We get down there and it was a dumb play by Anderson. I love Anderson, but it was a dumb... play when he had, when his foot was, shoe was coming off, up the line screen, we were hollering take timeout, we had a trap play called, and his shoe comes off. That ain't Bob Snelker's fault. We have another trap play, and if Finney picks up his feet, he walks in. We got the pass to AC out there in the flat. There's a ball thrown in and low. That isn't Snelker's fault. He fell like afterwards. Everybody booing his out of him, but he works his ass off. And he had no smarter coordinator in football. They put his picture up there and boo him.
Burnsy.
I love him.
You tell him, Burnsy.
I love him.
We're ranking the best coaches. I have in front of me a list that requires me to answer who I feel were the best coaches, or ranking the coaches that have played or have coached here with the Minnesota Vikings. We encourage you to do the same thing. We'll play a little radio roulette, and we'll take your favorite is one thing, best is another. Let's understand that. 651-989-9105 if you'd like to weigh in to the matter. Who has been the best coach to serve here with your Minnesota Vikings, the purple? And It's a long list. It was a very short list when I got here of coaches that have coached this team, but it has grown and grown and grown just recently and become kind of a revolving door, if you will. But
you want to go down it together?
Yeah, I think I named them all. Norm Van Brockman.
He's your number one?
No, I'm naming the coaches that we had to choose from. Norm Van Brockman, Bud Grant was next. Les Steckel.
Yeah,
or Les. Testicles. Then Bud Grant had to come back for a little while. And then he gave it back to his buddy, Jerry Burns, who turned it over to my longtime coach, Denny Green, who walked away from it all, and Mike Tice undermined him for the job. And then he lost it after, I think, even a playoff win. The Wilfs said, no thank you, and went and got Brad Childress. Brad went to the 2009 NFC Championship game, and he had to step aside. They didn't like the follow-up year. Leslie Frazier is who I have after Brad Childress. And then, of course, we all know who's in charge now, Mike Zimmer. And he's doing a lot of things right. Well, we can weigh into it.
Okay. Let's go 1 through 7. 1 through 9. Let's go 1 through 9. 9 coaches in NFL for the Vikings franchise history. Number one, I think we can agree, Hall of Famer Bud Grant.
Yes. That doesn't even make me hesitate to answer that
61%
way.
Winning percentage, playoff schedule. He was 10 for 12 in the playoffs, coached 1967 to 1983, then again in 1985. Number one, obviously.
Number one.
Number two, I think we can agree on number two. The round mound of sound, Denny Green, would be number two, I would think, right?
I love it. Yeah, Drummond, Denny Green.
He also had a 61% winning percentage. In the playoffs, he was 4-8. 97 and 62 overall, coach from 1992 to 2001.
98 and 62 was his record?
Yeah.
Just short of
97 and 62.
97 and 62.
Number three. I think we can agree on number three. Jerry Burns.
I think Jerry Burns. I definitely would go with Jerry Burns.
Jerry Burns was the coach when you first came to the Minnesota Vikings.
He was.
From 1986 to 1991, he went 52 and 43, a 54% winning percentage, 3-3 in the playoffs.
Burnsy. a lot better coach than what that record would indicate. But the talent level was incredible, and they just didn't really have any
quarterbacks. So I mean, it was constantly back and forth between Wade Wilson, Rich Gannon, Tommy Kramer. One of the guys was hammered all the time.
Yeah, well,
it was tough.
Those were decent quarterbacks too, but the talent that was on that team. I mean, you could just go down the list, and I mean, there are Hall of Famers all over the place. But
number four on this list of 1 through 9 of the Minnesota Vikings' best coaches of all time, here's where we're going to start disagreeing, because I think Mike Zimmer should be number four. Already after one season, 7-9, after getting to 7-9 with the rookie quarterback that everybody had given up on. They drafted him, Teddy Bridgewater, 32nd overall, after he was supposed to be the best quarterback in the draft. Adrian Peterson indictment, all hell broke loose. Injuries like you've never seen before. And he still came out 7-9, and I like where this is going. I hate Brad Childress.
Actually, he had a pretty good record. He had some decent numbers.
39-35.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
52% winning percentage.
Yep.
1-2 in the playoffs. I would put him at number 5. I know.
He had a lot of things that he brought to the table that actually were good things. He had a lot of positives. I think a lot of people want to remember him for being just that monotone voice and some... Big mistakes were made.
Yeah.
No bigger mistakes, though, than Denny Green had. There were some big mistakes on that man's part.
For sure,
as well.
But he thought he knew everything and was kind of flying in the face of ownership, even too, by cutting Randy Moss. They
that
had
was
been
a
given
mistake.
Third round draft pick.
Another one
Patriots.
Of those mistakes. I have to put Brad ahead of Mike.
I know you
for
do.
The time being.
That's why I said we're
just. And just because. I think that Mike is going to crush around here.
Yes.
I think he's going to crush, but I can't put that ahead of 39 wins, 34 losses, whatever it was for Brad Childress.
So who would be after Brad Childress for you then?
After Brad Childress, Norm Van Brocklin would have to be. I think that probably the Dutchman.
A 36% winning percentage. 29-51-4.
But
first 5 years.
Things were different in those days.
First 5 years expansion team.
The expansion was, and a brand new team. So I that's a tough thing to do, is to open up with an expansion team or be the first coach of one of those kind of teams.
Okay.
I go with Norm Van Brocklin, and then, of course, it has to be, even for the short term that he's had here, Mike Zimmer ahead of Mike Tice and Leslie Frazier, and I put Leslie ahead of Mike Tice. But Mike would
because
be...
Because you hated him?
No,
I mean, he had a 49% winning percentage compared to Leslie Frazier, who went 3-13 twice. He had a 39% winning percentage. Never won a playoff game. Mike Tice... Won a playoff game.
Yeah. I think Leslie's a better coach. I think he's a better coach. I just do. I know an awful lot about Leslie as a player. I knew and played with Mike Tice as a player. I don't know. I just had the best coaching.
So the best coaching,
I'm going to say Leslie Frazier ahead of Mike just barely.
And then Les Steckel brings up the rear.
Les Steckel, of course. Les Testicles with that one. What do you have? I think you have a 1-13 record.
3-13.
Oh, 3-13. Okay, yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, he's still last. But Mike Zimmer's going to come up that list really quick for me. Really, really quick. With each season that he coaches here, he's coming up the list quick. We are going to talk Mike Zimmer and the Vikings.
Made some bold statements about Adrian Peterson
today. They're not budging. The Vikings are holding ground. There's no leverage for AP. So we're going to go into that. Come on aboard with us. Talk to us, 651-989-9105, if you'd like to call and talk about the Vikings' positioning and their posturing regarding the Adrian Peterson no-show. Next.
105 The Ticket, available on iHeartRadio.
It's really not my place to figure out what he's not saying publicly or saying publicly or what anybody else is saying. It's more about these guys around here. You know, Adrian, you know, he's really got two choices. He can either play for us or he can not play. So he's not going to play for anybody else, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Gadzooks, Batman. He just told him right there. Well, look, they're doing it perfect. They're making him play it out. They can fine him. They can start taking some of that money away if he doesn't want to start showing up for the real deal stuff. And they're just going to keep telling him, look, we're just going to keep docking this pay. It's $12.75 million right now. If you want to keep doing this, we'll just keep pulling you back every day that we can find you legally through the CBA. We're going to. You want to come and play or not?
Mm.
Bottom line, you're not going to play anywhere else. We're not going to give a running back like you to somebody else to go win some games and beat us. So they are in the ultimate position of leverage.
It's about time that Mike Zimmer, and I don't know, I mean, he's been asked several times, but he's the guy that's going to just break it down and tell you the way it is. Where you ask Dick Springsteen something, and he's...
Spielberg will tell you something slick.
He'll lie right to your face, he'll ignore the question, Mike Zimmer...
He doesn't lie to your face.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't do anything to your face. Here's a typical conversation that you might have with Dick Spielman. Great draft. he's like, sits there. I said, a really good draft. Really, really amazing draft.
Wow. That's really insightful.
Yep, that was my conversation with Dick Spielberg.
But there have been so many other opportunities where he's been on cameras and he'll say, you know, I'm not going to talk about that, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. Mike Zimmer, you ask him the question, he's going to answer the question. And that's why I love Mike Zimmer. And I think today, throwing the gauntlet right back on Adrian Peterson, I love what Brian Murphy from the Pioneer Press said. He basically took the grenade that Adrian Peterson and Ben Dogra have thrown to Winter Park in the Vikings organization. He picked it up and he threw it right back at him.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. And now if the Minnesota Vikings are starting to get fed up, because it sounded like to me in that clip we just played by Mike Zimmer, it sounded like to me that he's starting to get fed up about this whole decision, this whole Adrian Peterson shenanigans. And who isn't? I mean, anybody listening, I'm sure, is fed up with listening about it. We're fed up about talking about it. The guy just needs to get to the frickin' Winter Park or say he's not coming at all and retire, whatever the deal is. But do you think that the Minnesota Vikings will, the longer he holds out, the more angry they're going to get, and they're going to start penalizing him as fiercely as they possibly can?
Just less money they have to pay him. It just reduces that 12.75. Why not?
I mean, they don't even have to pay the $12.75 million if he doesn't show up and they keep finding him and he keeps holding out. They don't have to pay him squat.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
The only way they have to pay him is if he is on the roster the day before the regular season.
That's true.
And if he plays the first game of the regular season, his contract is thus guaranteed for the rest of the season.
For that year, yep. They have put Spielman.
Bless you.
Or Dick Spielberg. I think let me get to the point. I think he puts Zimmer in a tough spot. If Zimmer wants to stay downstairs and coach football, he wants to put on his cap and his hoodie, grab a whistle, walk out there on the field, and just go ballistic with X's and O's and scheming, preferably defensive football. The people upstairs have to play a little game upstairs with agents and players. And, you know, all the other slime balls that come walking through there looking to try and get their hands in on NFL money. But he tipped the hand right now today. Zimmer tipped upstairs hand and the card that they're playing. He removed all doubt.
But Zimmer knows what's going on upstairs, too.
He said what he knows from upstairs. He should have come out and said, what they're telling me is he either plays here or he's not going to play at all.
But why does he have to say what they're telling me? He's the head coach, and so I think it's even more forceful to say...
Because he would play him.
Well, of course he's going to play him. And Rick Spielman, Dick Springsteen will welcome him back. Everybody will welcome him back with open arms once he comes back.
But he knows what the stance is, what the posturing is upstairs, and he just gave it to the
court.